Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Donut Racing Show, everybody, where we bring a saggy Papasan chair mindset to the Eames Lounge, an Ottoman-obsessed podium of Formula One racing. If you know what both those chairs are, you're probably in a higher tax bracket than I am, or make terrible financial decisions. My name is Nolan Sykes. I'm joined by my two co-hosts, my favorite auto journalists, and authors of Racing with Rich Energy. Buy the book, people. Let's go. It's Elizabeth Blackstock and Alanis King.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
Today, we're talking about the final race of the season, the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. But first, how's it going?
Busy. What do you got on your schedule, Nolan?
Okay, so with Donut, we have to get all of our materials to the editors by December 15th. So we can like have things cut and ready to go before Christmas break and everything. So we're shooting like four videos this week. I'm shooting every day. We're on set every day. It's just busy. It's busy for Nolan.
Yeah, it's busy for Alanis too. Alanis is tired.
Where's Alanis at right now?
Alanis is in San Diego.
Oh.
Last week I was in Los Angeles and then Las Vegas and then Los Angeles again. And now I'm in San Diego. And then next week I actually go on vacation, but I accidentally booked multiple podcasts while on vacation because I forgot that I was going on vacation. So I have to take my microphone on vacation to do work podcasts on vacation.
Are you going to Mexico?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
I go to the same spot every single time. All-inclusive resort. Terrible nachos.
That's a downer.
And I drink lime daiquiris, chocolate martinis all week. And I'm so excited.
That's amazing.
I can't wait. Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm great. I am going to Chile tomorrow, and I am looking forward to my 12-hour travel excursion across, I don't know, the farthest south I've gone, which is insane to me. I'm so excited.
What are you doing down in Chile?
I am going to Extreme E's finale at a copper mine. So oh. I'm really looking forward to it. Before we started the show, I was talking about eating whale blubber in Greenland, and that I was in Greenland for Extreme E. So I'm excited what kind of weird and wonderful treats I'm going to eat this time.
Awesome.
I would be asking where the Chili's is, but that's just me. Are you getting frequent flyer miles for this?
No. I haven't I committed to Delta as my airline so that I could start racking up the frequent flyer miles and like rewards programs, and then I have not flown Delta since I signed
Elizabeth,
up.
You know you can sign up for all of them, right?
Yeah, I know I can sign up for all of them, but this is so much work, and I don't... You know what? I just need to do it. I just need to get over it and be fine.
I just hit American Airlines gold status, ooh, the bottom status, and they upgraded me on my 31-minute flight home to first class.
Wow.
And
you
the
really
flight
got
attendant.
The most out of that.
I got the most out of it. And the flight attendant came over and they were like, what do you want to drink? And I was like, you got free alcohol up here? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, give me some vodka. And she was like, all right.
That's
just
awesome.
Vodka?
Yeah, well, no, you get the cran apple because it comes in a can, gotcha. And the other juices don't come in a can. So you get the cran apple and you put the vodka in there. But the flight attendant put like too much vodka in there, so it just tasted like vodka. So I needed more cran apple. So, you know, but it was great.
It's
was
rough
fantastic.
Out there in first class.
It's rough out there. And my husband was in economy. He was back by the toilets and I was up there with my vodka. I was like, hey, hon, come visit me.
Fly more, bitch.
Anyway, sign up for that frequent flyer program before you go.
I'm going to do it. Let's talk about this Formula One race we just saw. And we have to start out with qualifying. Over here at Q1 this weekend at the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, track limits once again came into play. Logan Sargeant, Zhou Guanyu, and Nico Hülkenberg all had laps deleted. It was wild. Poor Logan Sargeant couldn't get a legal lap, despite the fact that Williams were actually really fast this weekend and he would have had a great time. Guess what? He didn't.
It is un-American to not give him a lap.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I feel like the rules should be different for Americans based on our freedom. Anyway, unfair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's start
saying that.
Yeah. All of my freedoms that I've got. Just because. I don't think FIA rules should apply to us. Anyway.
In a way, it's poetic.
Yeah, we get the ugly American exception, you know? That's, we get to be rude in other countries.
Listen, yes. I will always say my thing is I think everyone is American. It doesn't matter what they sound like. It doesn't matter any of it. I always think they're American. And the other day, I was watching Jeremy Fragrance videos because I'm Jeremy Fragrance's biggest fan. Love that man. That man is not American. And I was thinking, this is an American. And that is not an American. That is the farthest thing from an American. But something in my brain says that's American.
America is the default setting for humanity. For me. There's a big traffic jam leaving the pits and qualifying. It's been bad out there. Max came on the radio to grump about it, and I think the funniest thing of this entire weekend was the exasperated sigh that GP let out as a response to Max complaining about this. He waited like a solid 3 seconds before he even responded, which was incredible. You can tell we're all ready for the season to be over.
Yeah.
Again, you have to like consciously send the radio message. You could just sigh and not send the message.
Yeah, I think you could just sigh.
We see them on
GP.
The wall pushing the button, by the way. They have to push
yes.
that button.
I think GP wanted Max to know he was already tired of his shit.
GP was like, button.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
So mad. We had a little spat as some actually significantly quick people were getting knocked out. So Carlos Sainz just barely managed to squeak by and then was knocked out by Perez. Carlos Sainz blamed traffic for impeding his fast lap. I didn't see no traffic when they did the replays, so I don't really know what he was talking about, but that's all right. He was having a bad time.
It's literally like me when I'm late. Oh, there's traffic.
Yeah. So eliminated in this session was Carlos Sainz, Kevin Magnussen, Valtteri Bottas, Zhou Guanyu, and Logan Sargeant, who never set a legal lap.
Oh, that is so depressing. Were y'all, like, did it make you sad when the commentators said, and there goes Carlos Sainz, the only non-Red Bull driver to win this season, eliminated in Q1?
Oh,
and I
God.
Was like... Damn.
Brutal.
Ouch.
Honestly.
No wonder GP is sighing. Like, it was so depressing.
I don't know how they do it. If I was Carlos Sainz, I would have just gone home.
Me too. I'm out. Bye.
Q2, Alonso knocked out teammate Lance Stroll after Lance Stroll knocked out Alex Albon. Little domino effect there, I guess. Lewis Hamilton slipped in a fast lap that was good enough for 10th place, and then he was knocked out by his teammate, George Russell.
It's teammate-on-teammate violence in Q2.
And eliminated in Q2, we had Lewis Hamilton, Esteban Ocon, Lance Stroll, Alex Albon, and Daniel Ricciardo.
Oh my goodness, Lewis Hamilton is becoming our Q2 boy. He is just not getting out of Q2 lately. Man, that is rough.
It's so crazy. I mean, we'll get mild spoiler alert. It is insane the results that Mercedes were able to pull off this season with such inconsistent qualifyings and race finishes. But we'll get to that a little later.
And I mean, we will get to that a little later, but like Lewis Hamilton pulled off a couple of passes in this race where I was like, that's Lewis Hamilton. But the pass was for 10th. He was so depressing. Q3, the McLarens were both quick, okay? Lando Norris wiggled on his final flying lap, which meant Oscar Piastri was able to get him at the line. Yeah, they were going after each other. Charles Leclerc struggled all session. This man was not having a good time, but he managed to switch on some performance and take second on the starting grid right there toward the end. Sergio Perez had his 5th place worthy lap deleted. Ouch. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Pierre Gasly also had a lap deleted. These dudes were just all over the lines and the track limits, and yeah, it was rough. Max Verstappen, this was weird, apparently won a 500 euro bet for Christian Horner against Helmut Marko. So Christian Horner and Helmut Marko made a bet, and Christian comes over the radio after Max gets pole and goes, Max, you just won me 500 euro from Helmut Marko. And Max was like, for what? And Christian said, yeah, Helmut bet that you wouldn't be on the front row.
What? Helmut Marko hates money, I guess.
Yeah.
But also Christian Horner said to get any money out of Helmut Marko was like getting blood from a rock or something.
Yeah, blood from a stone.
Blood from a stone, okay? And I was just like, okay, but why would he make a bet against Max being on the front row? Everyone else looks like toddlers out there. Why would you make that bet?
It was a very perplexing decision. I don't know what's going on in there. They're literally apparently so bored that they just have to do inside bets to keep things interesting.
I'm so perplexed by this. Our top 10 after Q3 were Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, Oscar Piastri, George Russell, Lando Norris, Yuki Tsunoda.
Hey.
Fernando Alonso, Nico Hülkenberg, where did that dude come from? Sergio Perez and Pierre Gasly.
Yeah, that's what Helmut was worried about. He's like, I know those hot. I know Hülkenberg is going to be fast.
Hulk Hülkenberg.
Yeah. He's going to be in there. He's going to be on that front row. But Hülkenberg only good enough for 8th. But still.
Okay, what was Helmut thinking? Was Helmut thinking like a Ferrari lockout? Carlos was eliminated immediately. Like,
I mean, they might have.
What was he betting on? Like, was he betting on Max having to go to the bathroom and not doing Q3? Like, what? I just don't understand why you would make this bet.
Someone needs to ask him, like, please, next time someone interviews Helmut Marko, just why? Why do you do this?
Keep that at the back of your mind, because I bet one of you will probably interview Helmut Marko within the next year or so. And you got to ask him that question.
I feel like if I interviewed Helmut, we would get into an argument.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I don't know that it would go well. I would be like, why aren't you like playing Connect Four somewhere?
Honestly, like, I feel like he'd respect that you bring this sass to him. I think he would be like secretly enjoying
it. I think he would like
it.
A fight.
Yeah.
He would like a fight. Usually when I talk to people, they end up enjoying it, even if they're terrified of me at first. They end up enjoying it because they're like, oh, well, at least she'll mess with me and argue with me. They like that.
All right, it's time to talk about the race itself. I watched it last night. I was, I forgot, or maybe they changed the time that they start, but I was extremely off put by seeing the racetrack during the day.
I was too.
They must have started early or something.
It was a little bizarre.
It was.
Yeah, they did like the twilight race, which was an interesting decision where it started light, went into dark.
Yes, which I think is pretty cool. But like after years of watching it purely at night and knowing Yas Marina as like a night circuit under the lights and seeing green grass and colors and my poor pupils being blown out by the saturation of all that color and daylight.
I was horrified that I had to wake up at 7 a.m. to watch it.
It was crazy.
It is tough, though, like when you get to the very end of the season and you know what's going to happen and you're up at 7 o'clock in the morning and you're like, damn. Like I set my alarm for 6:57 and I was like, all right, let's go, girls.
Time to watch Max win. All right.
One more.
One more time. Let's see what this race has for us. I think it had some interesting stuff for us. Let's get into it. So the biggest battle left to win in the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix was Ferrari versus Mercedes for second place in the World Constructors Championship. This was the battle to keep your eye on. Heading into the race, Mercedes led Ferrari by 4 points. They had 392 to Ferrari's 388. And after the race, Mercedes still led, but by only 3 points, 409 to Ferrari's 406. Carlos Sainz was almost entirely out of contention for the entire race because of his poor qualifying result, which left Charles Leclerc as the only Ferrari driver to rack up those much-needed points. It seemed as if Leclerc could challenge Verstappen for the win when he challenged the Dutch driver for the lead multiple times on the first lap. But unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be. We saw two awesome moves from Charles, late braking in the corners. Almost looked like he could pull it off, but it was no avail. That first lap felt so long that I was like, oh, there, Charles is going to have he's going to have that DRS on this next straight. And then I look up at the lap counter and they hadn't even done one lap yet. And I was like, oh, never mind. Charles is screwed. Okay.
Also, like, I feel that because this is one of those races where I woke up at 6:57 and around lap, like, 35, you know, it's...
Yeah, that was a long one.
We're not... Yeah, around lap 35, like, I start, like, my eyes start drooping and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to rest my eyes for a couple seconds. Just going to rest my eyes. And, like, two laps later, I'm up.
I think
I'm back.
The problem with this track... Also, like Vegas last week, is that a lot of the turns look very similar to each other. And there's, especially being at night, there's not a lot of recognizable landmarks on the side that let you subconsciously count how many laps there's been. Unlike some other like purpose-built legacy tracks where, oh, there's Eau Rouge, we've been there a bunch of times. Like, they all look pretty similar. So it makes it feel a little longer.
I feel like you get that a lot with like some of these newer tracks. So like even something like COTA, for someone who hasn't been to COTA a bunch, all of the track lining lines are red, white, and blue, right? In Abu Dhabi, it's all like that teal color. It's just like
there's no elevation
those
change.
Those legacy tracks have like the big tree, you know?
Yeah.
Or the this or the whatever, you know, the 24 hours of Le Mans circuit has the KFC. Or like
Barber Motorsport in Alabama has a big old spider. And you're like, why is that here?
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So Charles Leclerc looked set to end the race in second place on the track, but he actually elected to let Perez by to take the position at the end of the race. Perez had a 5-second penalty for a collision with Lando Norris. And on the last lap, Leclerc brewed up a little plan here. If he let Perez build up a big gap, then maybe that would allow Perez to still finish on the podium by knocking Russell out of contention, by building up enough of a lead so Russell did not end up taking that podium spot, thus securing Ferrari's second place finish in the World Constructors Championship. They probably did a whole briefing on this before the race started, because if he thought of this during the race, racing around the track, that would have taken an insane amount of brain power. And
that's a George Russell scheme.
They asked him after the race and Charles said that it was something he came up with right there on the track. But it took so long for Ferrari to make a decision on whether or not they thought he should do anything about this position switch that it ended up not even being worth doing it.
Great.
Yeah, because I think it could have worked. It was a really good idea to
just needed to happen
down
a lap earlier.
Exactly. Slow down, let Checo by, let him build a lead off of you, back up George Russell, and then you get second back. Checo's in third, George is in fourth. Points
and second place.
But it just didn't work like
it
that.
Did not, Alanis. It was not meant to be. Perez ended up and scored in fourth position. He did not build up enough of a time gap to Russell. He was only 3.8 seconds ahead of Russell, which gave George Russell the points he needed to keep Mercedes's World Constructors Championship lead. Second place. After all that, after this entire season of a really bad first half of the season, a consistent but not spectacular second half of the season, and they still scored second place. Pretty amazing. Russell was the shining star for Mercedes in this race. After Lewis Hamilton failed to qualify in the top 10, he had an equally challenging race after hitting Gasly on lap 15, gave him a little bonk going around a sharp turn there. Use the word bonk.
Bonk.
Audibly.
It's a scientific term.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that Lewis Hamilton just bonked down to 10th to 15th the whole time this race. It was a very bonky race for him.
So what happened is that Gasly locked up in front of him going into this turn. Hamilton ran into the rear and sustained wing damage and kind of just pivoted Pierre's car a little bit. I don't know if it caused too much damage on Pierre's car. Then Lewis Hamilton got caught up in a situation with one Fernando Alonso. Fernando braked extremely early for a corner on lap 38, which caused Ham to brake aggressively to avoid hitting him as well. Hamilton came on the radio kind of complaining that or rightfully pointing out that Alonso brake checked him, which I think is valid because it was way before the braking zone. I don't know what he was trying to do there. Some old rivals up to their old tricks.
Did y'all hear Fernando Alonso after the race? He was like, I have more experience than Lewis and I know what I'm doing. And then Lewis is like, he brake tested me. And okay, here's a question for my fellow Americans. Does brake tested sound a lot weaker than brake check?
Brake check is so much harsher. It's awesome.
It's so much harsher. When Lewis is like, he's brake tested me. I'm like, he's what, dude?
It makes it sound like he's just gently pressing on the brakes.
No, he's brake checking you.
But
Lewis,
maybe that's
a check.
Maybe that's just an American thing. Maybe if we say brake check, everyone in Europe will be like, what does that mean?
What does that mean? I have no idea. Yeah, I don't know. I love the Lewis Fernando spats.
Oh, it's so
because
good.
Lewis is just like, he was unfair to me. And then Fernando's like, I know all.
It's so good. You shouldn't have done that little pit stop trick at McLaren 15 million years ago.
15 years ago.
So what was going on here was that Alonso apparently was trying to force Hamilton to overtake in that zone, because then Alonso would have the DRS heading into the next straight and be able to recapture the position. Hamilton dropped back in the standings and on the final lap tried to overtake Tsunoda for eighth place, but he overcooked it. He went into a little bit of a drift there, and Tsunoda was able to take the position back. And, pretty tough day for Hamilton. A season to, you know, you gotta learn your lessons for Mercedes, but they probably want to forget a lot from this season. But you know what? The hardest diamonds are made in the highest of pressure. That's what I say. That's how science works. That's geology.
Nolan, I have nothing. I have no response to that.
Yeah, a lot of pressure amazing. And a perfectly cut, Asher cut diamond comes out of the
okay.
rough.
Okay, you don't even need there to cut go. It.
It's already shaped. Uh-huh. So that's what they're hoping for next season is a freaking 40-carat diamond.
Lewis finished third in the driver's standings. That's not terrible.
Well, that's because nobody else has any consistency.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Like, Lewis knows how to be consistent, even if it's consistently, like, fighting the car. But, like, he knows how to be consistent, whereas, like, Charles Leclerc or someone else who you would think was, like, the guy, aside from Max, they were all terrible for, like, half the race. We haven't talked about this, and I'm very curious. What are y'all's thoughts about the Lewis Red Bull drama? Like, Red Bull's
yeah,
like,
we didn't even mention
Lewis
that.
Is begging us. He's begging us to race for us. And Lewis is like, I haven't spoken to Christian Horner in at least 5 years. Like, what is going on?
What a weird, like, mind being honest thing.
No, I think one. Lewis is being honest.
Probably Lewis.
If I had to bet, Christian Horner had a dream where Lewis was speaking to him and then Christian Horner just like strategically omitted that it happened in a dream. And Lewis is like, what the hell, dude? I haven't spoken to you in years.
I think both are equally likely. We know that Christian Horner loves stirring the shit, but we also know that Lewis Hamilton loves to win. But knowing how loyal he is to Mercedes, I mean, he's been with his team in one form or another for his whole career, right? This is the same team he like grew up with, basically. He was a Mercedes karting driver. Yeah, now that I say it out loud, I think Horner's stirring the shit.
I actually would love to see Lewis Hamilton and Christian Horner working together in this capacity because it would not work well at all.
It'd be the most painful thing in the world to watch.
It would be so painful. And people would be like, Lewis, do you support Christian Horner's behavior and antics? And Lewis would be like, no comment. No comment. That is a sneaky little man.
I was going to say, all of the trash that Christian Horner has talked about Lewis Hamilton specifically over the years, I feel like just on a moral plane of existence, I wouldn't be able to compartmentalize that, go work for him.
Also, like, I don't think Lewis Hamilton would want to be within 20 feet of Helmut Marko any given point.
Yeah. Correct.
Like, he would have to, like, get a restraining order against
that would be
Helmut
the real
Marko.
That would be the real relationship that would be shitty.
It would be February 11th, and Helmut Marko would say something extremely offensive about Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah. Season hasn't literally. Even started yet. We haven't even gotten to preseason testing, and it's over.
And it's yeah, over. It's true. Just that'd like be a Bernie 2.0. Anyway, Red Bull, again, we're going to keep talking about Red Bull. We mentioned a little spat with Sergio Perez. So let's go ahead and check in with Checo. So Sergio Perez had a solid day. He was running steady in like, I feel like the vibe of the day was sixth. Now, give or take, I did close my eyes a couple times to rest them. But the vibe of the day for Checo, I feel like was sixth. And then lap 43, he pitted from second. So we're kind of like in this little pit stop mix up. He pits from second and he decides to start motoring by. Well, no, hold on. Lap 43, he pits from second. We're in the little pit stop mix-up time. And then he tries to start motoring by the competition to get back up to second, okay? Lap 47, he reaches Lando Norris, and they make contact in the turn 6/7 chicane. They're kind of together there. It was a racing incident, okay? So Lando Norris claims that Sergio Perez, who was on the inside, crashed into him. And Sergio Perez says that Lando Norris turned into him.
I loved getting those messages after that happened and seeing how they both interpreted this event. That was basically just like they both kind of screwed up.
Okay, but also I'm very like I want to know y'all's take on this because to me it was so obvious that Checo just like missed the apex and went way too wide. Like that's what it was to me. And like some of the commentators were like, oh, you know, Lando turned down a little bit. And then like some of the commentators were like, nah, Checo went really wide. I thought Checo went really wide. I'm on team Checo went wide.
I don't think he was doing it intentionally, though. And I think he just screwed up real bad.
Yes, but definitely not intentionally. But if it's a racing incident, I say it's like 80-20 Checo.
Yeah. It's a racing incident in the sense that, like, they both hated each other immediately afterward and complained on the radio, which is why I loved it.
Correct. And I don't know, if I'm a racing driver, I guess Formula One is different because there are penalties, so you have to pretend you're in the right no matter what. But if I'm a racing driver where there aren't penalties for collisions, I'm just going to be like, I'm not saying anything until after I see the replay because I'm going to look stupid, you know? But in Formula One, you had to play politics.
It's shut the f*** up Friday. Don't say anything to the cops. Don't say anything to the stewards.
But what's also so funny is that because in Formula One, you have to try to avoid a penalty for causing a collision, Checo is like, he turned into me. And Red Bull's like, yeah, mate, we saw it. Oh, mate, he just ran into you. Okay. And it's like, okay.
I love the hype men. Like, you're right. It's like going in the group chat and complaining about your boyfriend. All the girls are like, you're right, he's an asshole.
Okay, so
it's like it was all you.
Honestly, watching this back, I'd just call it a racing incident. But Perez, of course, came away with that 5-second penalty. And I think that's because, I mean, they're going into the turn, Lando is ahead. And then as they they're into the turn, then Perez gets beside him. And I guess like the stewards might have thought that he should have backed out a little bit because it was obvious that there wasn't enough space for both of them. But I wouldn't say it's especially egregious, honestly. And that's coming from me, man.
And
I agree.
Here's the thing. Alonso didn't get a penalty for her brake checking Lewis. So what are we doing here, stewards?
Okay. I do think most of the blame is on Checo for this. But I do not think it was penalty worthy blame.
Correct. Yeah.
I think it was a racing incident where Checo made a mistake. But this goes back to the officiating in Formula One, and is it always necessary? I think there are some cases where you could argue that causing a collision penalties are necessary for the safety of the drivers because these cars are they're little rocket airplane thingies, you know? Yeah. It's not like NASCAR where you can just like ram each other and everybody's all right and then ha ha ha, we're gonna go get a beer afterward. Right. You know? Like there are situations in which you should officiate really rough driving because you don't want someone to get hurt. Mm-hmm. But if someone just touches wheels with someone and like they both keep going and everybody's fine, do we really need to assess blame?
It's just a little bonk.
It's just a little bonk. Like, I mean, like a big bonk. Okay, but a little bonk.
There's a little
an
bonk.
An intentional bonk.
And yes. Perez didn't even, like, get the place anyway. So, I don't know.
Exactly. If it's a little bonk, let him keep going. Come on, Formula One. Let's just let him move on. But lap 48, Sergio Perez passes Lando Norris. And then we soon learn that he gets his 5-second little bonk penalty for avoidable contact. Unfortunately. Couple laps later, Sergio Perez takes advantage of Charles Leclerc slowing, but not enough advantage of it. So he did not get enough of a gap. And with that 5-second penalty, he was scored in fourth place. I would say it was a fine finish to the day. I really think he probably shouldn't have gotten that penalty. It was a fine finish for a year where everybody spent a lot of time debating Checo all year, and I think these last couple of races he's done well, you know. He definitely needs more consistency though.
I was gonna say, I feel like because his teammate is Max Verstappen and we're comparing Checo against like the driver to beat right now, we can be kind of harsh on him. I was thinking about it and I was like, all of these conversations, all of these times I've been like, yeah, he should get fired. We should replace him. And I'm like, actually, I kind of changed my mind. That seems really mean. It seems like he did well enough, but he does need to get his act together if he wants to continue.
I mean, his teammate is a person with deep daddy issues. And as someone with also deep daddy issues, perfectionism runs really deep. Mm-hmm. So here you are with a man in the same car who is the dude, the guy, This dude is a perfectionist, because if he's not, daddy is going to be mad.
Even like, his donut was perfect.
Yeah, that's a hard thing. Race. That's a hard thing to be directly compared with. So are we too hard on Checo? Yes, we are, because you don't get like Max Verstappen unless you got some issues.
I think, ironically,
stated as someone with some issues.
I think he'll be better next season, not like world championship status, but Sergio, I think, like, after witnessing firsthand how capable and just dominant Max is going into next season, I think you're just like, okay, I guess I really am just I'm just Max Verstappen's teammate. And I think having that burden off your shoulders of like trying to be world champion, and yeah, I honestly think he'll do better next season if he's still on Red Bull.
Yeah, I feel like we started this season thinking, Checo's going, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe we'll have a challenge here.
Yeah, he got and those then, race wins early in the year, so it was kind of like, oh, maybe something could happen here.
Yeah, we're going to see some.
Yeah, no, we did not.
We didn't see anything. Nothing.
No, sadly.
Speaking of mostly fine drivers, we had a pretty spicy multi-driver battle for fourth place in the World Drivers' Championship. It was finally resolved. It all shook out in Fernando Alonso's favor. So before we got into the race, Carlos Sainz was leading the charge for fourth place with 200 points, followed by Alonso, equal at 200, followed by Lando Norris with 195, and Charles Leclerc with 188. All of
those. That is so rough.
I know. Poor Chuck.
That is so rough, Elizabeth. Oh, poor Chuck.
Poor Chuck back there, rotten in seventh place. So let's see how this all shook out. Carlos Sainz, he was up there leading. He had a miserable race. Started 16th, and then he failed to complete the final lap due to car issues, so he was classified as a finisher but didn't finish the race. It was brutal. He was a non-factor for the entire event, and he had the biggest drop, going from 4th to 7th in the World Drivers' Championship because he scored no points. Imagine being Carlos Sainz right now.
It was actually so sad when, with one lap to go, they were like, buddy, bring it in.
Just let him figure it out.
Just let him do the last lap. Like, that was so bad for morale. Just let him do the last lap.
It was tough. And Lando Norris, he fared a little bit better thanks to his fifth place finish in the Grand Prix. He had a really good starting position, but he struggled after a very slow pit stop, which caused him to lose positions and have to fight to get back into a decent contention. Then he had that contact with Sergio Perez, where he subsequently lost a place. So he got 10 points for his finish, which moved him to sixth place in the World Drivers' Championship. Not great, but all right. Not bad. Then we had poor Charles Leclerc. He had one of his better performances of the season in Abu Dhabi. So he jumped two positions in the WDC, finishing fifth overall. Basically, he would have needed a perfect race to finish any higher up. But man, like, it's brutal to think about how we looked at him as maybe a championship contender, or like at least able to battle for wins. And here he is at fifth in the championship.
Oh,
insane.
Not good.
Yeah. And then we had good old Fernando Alonso finishing seventh in the race after he somehow managed to escape a penalty for that weird DRS baity brake maneuver on Lewis Hamilton. That was a real comfortable finish and saw him emerge as the leader of the four-way battle after this race. It was honestly, the midfield this year was so much fun and also so. See, I was thinking about this after the race and I was like, man, I thought I had so many high hopes for these people, like Carlos, Fernando, Lando, and Charles. I was like, man, any of these guys could win the race. Like a couple months ago, I was so confident that like maybe they'd have a shot.
Yeah.
And now here they are duking it out for a fourth place finish in the championship, which means someone's got to finish seventh, which is brutal.
Yeah.
I just love that Fernando has just like this extreme goblin energy about him. Like He's just this little old man who came back to Formula One after quitting Formula One. And he's back and he's acting like a total goblin. He's just fighting with everybody. He's going to brake check Lewis Hamilton and just like goblin his way to seventh. And then he beats everybody for fourth. Like, he's a goblin.
Goblin is way to seventh.
Is he not a goblin?
He is a little goblin, honestly.
If you were to, the gremlin to goblin scale, Fernando Alonso
he's like
is a goblin.
Warlock. I think he's like a wizard.
No,
he's like
he's a
mystic, you know? He's like, he's in his little cave with his, pondering his orb. And then he got called back to racing. The orb told him to go racing.
No, wizards give you advice to help you in life. Goblins say, I brake checked you because I know better.
No, he's like Saruman. He's not Gandalf. So he's not a Saruman. Yeah, he's just like, I'm out here in my big tower pondering my orb, you know?
I don't know.
Committing crimes.
I think that's too complimentary of his goblin nature.
Yeah, it probably is. He's the best.
I love Fernando.
I'm glad he's still sticking it out.
He's such a mess, though.
He really is. Aren't we all, though?
Well, I mean, says something that, like, this guy comes back to the sport and, you know, he's the oldest driver on the grid, comes back to the sport, and within a season becomes one of the, a favorite among F1 fans, you know? People who had never, you know, we got Drive to Survive fans loving this dude. It's great. It just speaks to his character and his ability. You know, I love him.
Cross-generational appeal.
Yeah.
Truly. Here's a self-reflection question. On the gremlin to goblin scale, where are you? I think we're all gremlins, but...
I'm firmly in little gremlin territory.
I'm a gremlin. Yeah. I'm not a goblin. Nolan, what are you?
I'm a hobgoblin for sure. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Ooh. Interesting. Okay. Fernando's a goblin. Nolan's a goblin. Me and Elizabeth are gremlins.
Because goblins, a hobgoblin is a household.
No one's like, I don't know.
A household spirit appearing in English folklore, once considered helpful, but has since become considered mischievous.
I'm just looking at pictures of gremlins and I'm like, yeah.
I think that I'm a bit of a homebody, especially on weekends. I consider myself helpful, but I think I'm mostly annoying. So I think that's a pretty good description for me. Okay.
I'm 100% a gremlin.
I'm on the gremlin Wikipedia page, and I don't know if I've ever told you all this before, but when I was like 8 years old, I only had dial-up internet, so I would print off my favorite Wikipedia articles about mythical creatures and bring them to school and study them and share them with my friends.
I love that.
Elizabeth,
I love
that. That's incredible.
Yeah. I was a freaking master. I love those dragonology books, too.
Oh, that's
just
so good.
Do
you guys remember those?
I bought 10 dragon figurines last night.
I saw your post.
What?
Do you want to see all of them?
What?
I went to the dragon store in San Diego and I bought 10 dragon figurines and I bought so many that they started giving me discounts on them. They were like, okay, this one is $27. We're going to give it to you for $18. And they're like, all right, this one is $17. You get it for $11 because I bought so many.
There's just a dragon store in San Diego?
Yeah, well, okay, it's not just a dragon store. It's like an everything store, but it has a lot of dragons.
Okay.
And they were like, the owner of the store is going to come in tomorrow and be like, where did all the dragons go? Because I bought like half of the dragons in the store.
Wow. I feel like you could also buy a bong there, but they tell you not to call it a bong. That's called a water pipe. And it's for
they have a whole wall of those. Yeah. Whole wall of them. But I bought all of the dragons in the dragon store and I just call it the dragon store. And the thing is, everyone in this store, I don't know if they're like currently stoned just their behavior.
No, they're hot.
But I love these people because every time I go in, like last night I went in, I was like, I want all of your dragons. And the person at the counter was like, do you know I'm a dragon? And I was like, that's amazing. Good for you.
Wow.
I'm obsessed.
Okay.
And then we had a whole conversation all night about how the person at the counter was a dragon. And then they just gave me a lot of money off of my dragons.
Wow.
Because we're dragons.
Well, speaking of...
It was incredible.
Speaking of a big bag of dragons that Alanis walked away with, it's time for our Grand Prix grab bag. So, Max Verstappen, He was the first driver to lead 1,000 laps in a season. He scored 575 out of a possible 620 points. He won 19 races out of the 22 races this season. It's the highest percentage of wins this season. Most wins from pole. He had the longest streak of converting poles to wins. He had the most sprint wins in a season and the most podiums in a season.
Formula One is so funny because they're like, Max Verstappen is the first driver to lead 1,000 laps in a season. And if you go to NASCAR, someone could lead 1,000 laps over three races.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, whatever. We don't care. Like,
but
it is not an impressive number in that sense. But also, Max Verstappen, he led the same number of laps that Ayrton Senna and Alan Prost led combined when they were in the McLaren MP4s.
That's insane,
man.
That
is horrific.
Yeah.
Another grab bag moment during the race. It was Crofty said, there's no Verstappen, Max Verstappen. And I audibly groaned hearing that.
Because, I mean, like, that's like that joke is like, what, 7 years old
it's
at
so,
this point?
Yeah, come on, man.
It's so
I was
going
to say, if I search that on my Twitter account, I bet I can find that from one of his first DNFs.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just an old joke. Like, it was great at first, but
it was terrible. Anyway, Yuki Tsunoda finished really well in this last race in eighth, defending against Hamilton. He also led the race during the first pit cycle, just staying out on those old tires, but still technically in first place. He was racing with a helmet commemorating Franz Tost, who is retiring as AlphaTauri's team principal. We didn't even talk about they're changing their name to Racing Bulls.
Are they actually doing it? I heard that maybe they weren't.
Hugo Boss Bulls Racing.
Well, I heard. Okay, so what I saw somewhere, it's not just Racing Bulls. They're looking for like another title sponsor to put in front of that.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It'll be like. The example I saw was Adidas Racing Bulls, which makes a lot more sense than just Racing Bulls by itself.
I hate it so much.
Racing Bulls is so bad.
It's not
honestly,
great.
Honestly, just go it's back so to Toro Rosso. It was cute.
Toro Rosso was a good name.
And
it was a
bring
great
back,
name.
Bring back those airbrushed bulls on the car. That was sick
For
as hell.
For real.
Those were
Toro
so cool.
Toro Rosso was a good name. Why? How did we go
well,
from
they're not
Toro
in Italy
Rosso?
Anymore. They're in Milton Keynes, I think. They moved the factory.
Well, I personally, I
Everything
don't care.
Everything is American to me, okay? Toro Rosso is American to me, all right?
They like, still have it's all Ferrari engines, so they're still Italian.
I don't understand how we went from that to Racing Bulls.
Look, they'll probably run with it for like one or two seasons, and then it'll be on to a better name after this. We're gonna
get like some title sponsor that's like Ralph Lauren Racing Bulls, and you're like, God,
ooh,
Ralph
I
Lauren.
Hope it's Adidas personally because I can't wait to hear how British people pronounce Adidas because they say Adidas.
Adidas.
And I cannot. I actually think that'd be really funny. I would
Adidas
probably
Racing
get annoyed.
Bulls. That sounds worse than Adidas Racing Bulls
oh,
for
yeah.
sure.
I'd probably get sick so of it bad. After Adidas. About one race, but funny for
there
the time.
There goes the Adidas.
Oh no.
But if it is Adidas, then we get a possible Korn Jonathan Davis collab.
Oh my God. All right, I'm here for it. I'm signed up.
Rich Energy Racing Bulls.
Ooh. So, more grab bag. We had some post-race penalties for visors. All 10 teams were summoned to the stewards after the race for a pit lane violation, quote unquote. The FIA Sporting Regulation 3413 states that all team personnel in the pit lane must wear, quote, appropriate eye protection, which is very vague. The stewards basically said they can't impose any punishments, but they did tell all the teams to make sure the mechanics had their helmet visors down or other glasses on during pit stops. I mean, dude, you don't want to risk your eyes catching on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
Honestly.
Gotta wear those visors, guys. Come on. And finally, Williams versus AlphaTauri for 7th place in the World Constructors Championship. AlphaTauri had a truly miserable race with the exception of Yuki Tsunoda. So even though neither Williams finished in the points, Yuki's 4 points weren't enough to overtake the 8-point deficit to Williams. And that's Williams' best World Constructors Championship finish since 2017 when the team took 5th place. So
it's been a long, hard like just a slog for Williams. Those poor boys.
Vegas was so exciting though. I was in the grandstands, and when they made it to Q3, I was like, Logan, Logan. I was the only one. Like, I bet no one knew who Logan was. Like, who's Logan? There's a guy named Logan in Formula One. Like, Logan.
I feel like that name should be illegal in Formula One. I don't know totally why. Agree. It just doesn't. It's like,
totally agree.
I don't know. It's like Trent. There shouldn't be a driver named Trent.
A disappointing Ooh. Logan stat for the grab bag here. He has less points than Liam Lawson.
Oh. 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 Oh.
Yeah. Logan has 1 point. There. Ended the season with 1 point. Liam Lawson, 2 points. So.
Oh. Oh. I'm gonna ignore that you said that. I'm gonna ignore that you said that. To sum it all up, our podium for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix was Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, and George Russell. Then we had Sergio Perez, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, and Fernando Alonso. And with the final points, we had Yuki Tsunoda, Lewis Hamilton, and Lance Stroll.
The fastest lap went to, wait for it, who was it? Max Verstappen. The driver of the day was Yuki Tsunoda, and we had a last lap retirement from Carlos Sainz because Ferrari was like, screw it, buddy, whatever, come on in, yeesh, it's over. Poor dude.
I saw him going into the pits, and I was like, please just be a timing and scoring error. Let him just finish.
No, let him just, I mean, come on. It doesn't matter if, like, it doesn't matter if the wheel fell off. Like, it's one more lap. Like, just let him finish the race.
It's time for Boyfriend of the Week. Our final Boyfriend of the Week during the regular season here. You know how it is. You know what it is. We acknowledge who's the best this week. It can be anybody. It could be a driver, a car, someone online, or in my case, a wall.
Oh,
my boyfriend okay. of the week is the wall in the pit lane exit that said,
oh,
quote,
no. I knew you were going to say this. I knew it.
No ordinary season, said the sign in the pit lane exit tunnel.
That's so funny.
Which made me laugh every time I saw it because I thought it was it was an extraordinary season for Max, but pretty ordinary for everybody else. And I was just thinking, like, who signed off on this? Why this phrase in particular? It's the last race of the season. We know what the deal is. Everybody's been watching. Why did
we've seen
no
it.
Ordinary season?
Okay, my first thought when I saw this was 2021.
Yes.
Like, that would be like, you would have some iconic photos from that, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. the only iconic photo op you have from this is Max driving past it to
yes.
lead his like thousandth
and you know
lap
what?
While
maybe
he's eating a bagel.
Maybe that's why they did it, but man, it's like when you see marketing on billboards when you're driving to work and you're just like, what? That's the like what? Local businesses being like number one burgers in the Coachella Valley. And you're like, there's no way to verify that. Nobody knows that. Or world famous burgers at any burger joint. You're like, no, you're not.
Why are they world famous? Is it just because someone in England knows what your burger is?
Yeah. Cause you saw, yeah. Someone with an accent bought your food one time. Like that's not, that doesn't count. No. So I thought that was really funny. I had a runner up, my runner up honorable mention, is, you know what? I'll see if Liz chose this.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
My boyfriend of the week is Charles Leclerc, actually.
Oh, no. I knew you were going to pick Charles Leclerc, actually. I had a vibe. I had a feeling.
Yeah. Why?
Only because at the end of that race, he came on the radio and said, can I do some donuts, please? And his team was like, no, go back to the pit lane. So sad. There's like a whole bunch of audio of him trying to like negotiate that Perez pass as well, where the team just doesn't do anything
like,
or say
they
just like ignore that he has pitched something and keep giving him information that he's not asking for. And I was like, this is so like, just say you hate him and go. At least let me get rid of the last bit of hope I have that he might be happy. He needed some love. I picked him.
Alanis.
He did need some love. Well, Nolan, what was your?
I want to make sure that I don't steal it from you. So you go ahead first.
Okay.
Yeah. Because when I saw this guy, I was like, oh, that's my dude.
Oh, no.
Until
this
I saw
is not going to be it.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not going to be it. Okay. It's not going to be the same. My boyfriend of the week. Boyfriend of the
week. Boyfriend of the week.
What did you get, German?
My boyfriend of the week is the fact that I do not have to hear George Russell on the radio for another 3 months.
Oh,
only okay. Right. Only 90 some days until the start of 24.
Only like 90 some days because I'm sure y'all saw this, but during the race, George was asking about the constructor championship standings and Mercedes said something and George goes, "What the f- does that mean?"
Yeah, and it was like a pretty like tame thing.
And then Mercedes is like, "Oh, we're not dealing with this." So they come back on the radio and they go, "All that we can do is the best that we can do." George was pissed.
I hate that so much. If someone told me that while I'm like trying to figure out my future, I think I'd freaking scream.
Listen, this was the only George Russell radio, like gremlin-y little radio message. This was the only one that actually I was fine with because Mercedes was literally giving him like bridge troll poems. And I thought it was fine that he said, "What the f- does that mean?" But also, I'm very happy that George has 3 months of just not talking on the radio.
Of chilling, yeah.
No one interview him. No one speak to him. Let him figure himself
Isolate
out.
Isolate him for a while. Put him in the Monaco prison.
Do what you need to do.
Like, just let him talk to himself for a while. Nolan, who was your runner-up?
So come my on. Mystery honorable mention boyfriend of the week is a McLaren driver. But not in Formula One. Pato O'Ward in the pits. It was so funny. They had the camera on him and then he turns and like, I think was caught off guard at first. He's just like, he like looks at the camera. And he's like, "Wait, what? Is that a cam? Oh, I got to look handsome real quick." And then there's like a Bruce Campbell, like, "Hey, how you doing?"
that was so weird.
It was really funny. And I love that for him. It was great.
Shout out to Pato. Actually, he is P2 today in the postseason test that they've got on Tuesday after the season. He was only second to Esteban Ocon, who I believe was doing some tire testing. So Pato was the best of the young drivers in the test today.
Thank you so much for listening to the Donut Racing Show. We'll be back next week to wrap up the season.
In the meantime, make sure to subscribe and tell all your friends to tune into the Donut Racing Show. And if you want to leave us a 5-star and kindly worded review, that always helps us out. We also have an email address, donutracingshow@donutmedia.com. So please get in touch. Here's one we got recently. "Hey, y'all, appreciate all the things you guys do. The podcast is the reason I've gotten into Formula One in the first place. I've been binge listening to all the episodes while driving around for work, definitely keeping me entertained in awful LA traffic every day. I've also noticed you all have a great music taste, so I'm recommending you guys a band called the Psychedelic Porn Crumpets. They are a crazy psychedelic rock band from Australia, and I think you will dig it. Once again, thank you guys for everything you do. Best regards, Josh Scuderi. P.S. Check out Public Shadows. That's Josh's band, and he would greatly appreciate it."
Josh, we will check out Public Shadows.
I'm obsessed with the name Psychedelic Porn Crumpets. That is a winner in my book.
I will check out both. I think that's fantastic. Oh my goodness, thank you. We appreciate you listening. And before we go, we have to tell you, after this week, there will be just one more episode of DRS.
Yeah, that's right. We are retiring the show at the end of the season. Yeah, we'll have more details next week, I guess, for you, a proper farewell, but just wanted to give you a heads up.
And that is because we will have some projects to announce in the next few weeks. But I wanted to let you guys know that in 2024, me, Elizabeth Blackstock, I have my own podcast called Deadly Passions, Terrible Joys. I'm going to be talking about motorsports, rich history of scandals, dramas, and intrigue. I have a little preview for you guys, and we will play it at the end of the episode.
Great title, by the way. Holy shit. I saw that on your Instagram this morning. I was like, God damn.
Thanks. Okay. I stole it from Enzo Ferrari.
Still. Yes. Still.
There you go. Yeah. That is a great person to steal from. I am also in the planning stages of my own little interview podcast where we're still sketching everything up and pitching sponsors and stuff. But I think it's going to be called 36 Questions. And basically what we're going to do is we are going to take the psychological 36 questions to fall in love. And we're going to ask famous people, like racing drivers, those questions. And the idea is that by the end of the show, whether you liked that person or didn't like that person or didn't know that person at the beginning of the show, you will like them better by the end of it because we will talk about things that you've never heard them talk about. And I think it'll be super cool, and I really want to do this. So we're sketching stuff up right now, and we're pitching sponsors. And Elizabeth and I, we're going to sketch up a little podcast, I think, called ABS. And we're going to talk about all kinds of motorsports. We're going to talk about NASCAR, Formula One, IndyCar, all of that in a similar way.
All right.
We will link the landing pages for all of these various projects in the episode description. So if you want to check those out, they will be right there for you.
Yeah, it would be super helpful if you want to go subscribe to those and do whatever you can do to support them. We're obviously pitching sponsors and trying to finalize things. So whatever y'all would like to do would be super helpful in getting these things off the ground. So next week, we are going to have like this little wrap-up episode where we reflect on everything and we read a bunch of the wonderful fan mail we get because we get all of these nice things in our email and y'all are the best and we love you so much. And we just want to reflect on all of this and all the things y'all have said to us. So please come next week. We'll talk more about these future projects. We will talk more about the show itself. We are so sad to be leaving y'all on this particular platform, but we will see you elsewhere.
Yeah. Guys, your homework as you're listening to this is to follow Alanis King and Elizabeth Blackstock on their social medias. You can find Alanis at Alanis N. King on Twitter and Instagram. She also has a YouTube channel called Alanis King, and she's also on Cars and Bids. She's an excellent. She's excellent. On Cars
Thank
and Bids,
she's
really coming to her own on that. Follow that shit.
I also went to Vegas the other day and I made a video about that on my channel. So if you want to see what Vegas was like, you can go watch that video.
Follow Liz at Eliz_Blackstock on Twitter and Eliza Blackstock on Instagram. Liz is a phenomenal writer and works really hard. This woman does not take vacations. She works herself to the bone. Okay, she wrote this episode. She's written a lot of episodes of DRS. So you follow Liz, follow Alanis, follow me if you'd like, at Nolan J. Sykes on whatever platform, and check out Donut. We have a YouTube channel, as well as an automotive history show called Past Gas. Check it all out, and we will see you next week as we reflect on the season.
If you want to hit me up anywhere, send me an email, because I cannot figure out Instagram DMs, and they are very stressful. Send me an email. There's a little button on my Instagram. Bye!
Get ready to dive into the adrenaline-fueled world of motorsport like never before. Introducing Deadly Passions, Terrible Joys, the podcast that takes you on a thrilling ride through the historic scandals and intrigues that shape the high-speed universe of racing. Join me, Elizabeth Blackstock, as I uncover the hidden stories behind the most exhilarating moments in motorsport. From intense rivalries to jaw-dropping controversies, each episode is a deep dive into the heart-pounding drama that defines the sport. We're talking kidnappings, race-fixing scandals, secret love affairs, and political canoodling. The show's meticulously researched narratives bring to light the untold tales, revealing the risks, triumphs, and shocking secrets that forever change the course of racing. I'll take you behind the scenes with exclusive insights from the archival depths, shedding light on scandals that have captivated audiences for generations. Don't miss out on the gripping stories that shaped motorsport. Coming 2024, Deadly Passions, Terrible Joys will be available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe now on Patreon.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.